right, good evening or afternoon. Oh, it's been a long day, yeah. It technically works. Okay. So, I just want to thank all of you for attending today. And this is our meeting 3 of 4. We've had one meeting already on affordable housing. Yesterday was the Community Land Trust. Today we're going to be focusing on the Homeless Trust Fund, how that is structured, and just all kind of the moving parts that go along with that. We're trying to kind of break it up into three different pieces here so we can keep our focus in the conversation to those things. Because as you know, homelessness and affordable housing is a giant topic, as I learned very quickly diving into this. And the good news is there's a plethora of studies, and the most recent one, chaired by Councilmember Boylan, the CQLI, or the Critical Quality of Life study that we did, which kind of spurred most of this conversation and most of the kind of groundwork for what we're trying to do. So with that, we're still waiting on Councilmember Ayers, but we're going to go ahead and start. I wanted to, yeah, you can close that, Carol, if you want to. I wanted to take maybe the first 30 minutes or so, and it just be a discussion amongst my colleagues on how the Homeless Trust Fund will be structured, who's going to manage it, what are the funding sources, and what are the goals it will accomplish. So just kind of getting into the nuts and bolts of it. And then the last 30 minutes or so, we want to hear from folks in the audience, some speakers that I'm assuming will be kind of coming up and giving your thoughts. But with that, I wanted to just open it up real quick and just see if there's any comments or anything that anyone has to start off with.
Well, do we first off have to
talk about the trust fund initially?
Yes.
Well, maybe I should set the table a little bit, okay, if you wouldn't mind.
Go for it.
I do appreciate the fact, Councilman Michael Bunn, District 6, and I do thank you, Councilmember Carlucci, for continuing the cause in this process, and all of my colleagues for picking up where the CQLI left off. And I'm very much encouraged by the concept of the Homeless Trust Fund and the options that are out there. I just do want to remind my colleagues of some of the work that we want to do before we get too far into the weeds of what does the trust fund look like and how much does it cost. I think that's something that's going to require a little more time and effort to work through. And I know Council President Salem is going to speak about that in a few minutes. But we have set aside in the budget $100,000 to focus on getting a little deeper dive into what is the best route for funding, mm-hmm, to continue the work they're doing. But I think also to help us better appreciate the viability of success with long-term housing and with wraparound services. I think that's self-evident to many of us, but not to all of us. And I want to make sure, like the old adage, when you're a lawyer, you want to only ask a question that you know the answer to. And I want to make sure we have the answer to the question before we go too far along and make a commitment on ongoing funding. I think clearly there are options out there. Pastor Barlow, I don't think he's here today, had introduced one as part of the CQLI. We talked about a couple of others. J-Bill is an option there as well. So I hope we don't get too far down the road without, first of all, I don't want to get the cart before the horse in terms of making a determination. Is this warranted? Who's going to administer it? How are we going to evaluate it? And how much money does it need? Mm-hmm. Because I hate to say, let's build a trust fund, but we don't know how much money it needs. If we don't build it, we need to know those questions answered first before we get into saying, what's the vehicle to keep the funding, and ongoing funding in place.
Fair. Okay. No, understood. But I do think I do think some of us are ready to talk about that.
Let's
stuff.
Let's do it. I want to.
I'm ready to admit that there needs to be funding, and zeroing in on exact dollar is can come later.
Okay.
But at this point, there's just been a lot of people that are interested in questions that I've asked. Like, there's been some general consensus from these meetings that Homeless Trust Fund would be a vehicle to house the dollars. Wherever they're coming from is a different conversation.
Okay.
But the Homeless Trust Fund, my vision for it, and I know he's kind of, President Salem has already had a trust fund initiated for this, is almost widen the scope of what Council President Salem has done And if you want to touch on what yours was a little bit, and then, you know, we can kind of bring it back to what the broadened scope looks like, and then kind of go from there.
Sure. Thank you, Councilmember Carlucci, for bringing this together, and you all that have been involved from the very beginning. The trust fund that I have set up, that has been introduced and is being fine-tuned as we speak. In fact, I have a meeting this afternoon to continue to fine-tune it. Was sparked by the homeless count that was done 2 or 3 months ago, where roughly over that period of time, roughly 24 hours, where they go all over the county and counting people, it was around 1,200 people that were homeless in that count. And what moved me was that 700 of the 1,200 were first-time homeless. And in talking to people, there were things that I think we can do to prevent those families from breaking up, because, and I did some reading, other cities have done things, and the cost is not overwhelming to prevent somebody from coming homeless. It may be a car repair, it may be some food, it may be rent that particular month, where we could boost them up and prevent them with a one-time expense to prevent them from becoming homeless. So I had a discussion with the mayor and said that through the budget process, we have a $3 million contingency that it's called the president's contingency, but you know, I view it as a council contingency, as long as you talk to me about spending it. But I went to her and said, I will put $500,000 into this fund if you will match me. And through her $25 million that I think we all are familiar with from the budget process, she graciously agreed to do that. So we now have $1 million, and it was my thought that we would take roughly $150,000 a year and provide that to Changing Homelessness, would be the recipient of those dollars, and they would use those dollars as we design it. As I see it, it's someone, as I just described, that would be referred to Changing Homelessness through the other agencies that do this kind of work, or through people that they're seeing themselves, and we could continually add to this fund, and we could also increase that 150 could become 200, it become 250. I view it as, I want it to be a perpetual fund and want this to last a long time. So, and then the interest that's earned off that money each year, which is not a great deal, it's about 3% right now, would also be allocated for that reason. So this fund presently is designed for that reason. If we wanted to do other things for the homeless through a trust fund, we could set up another trust fund and kind of keep this one for that particular use. Now, I would caution you, some of us view trust funds as forever funds, and that's not really the case. 10 votes can change a trust fund. So I just want you to keep that in mind. There is no long-term potential use for this by any other council could potentially change these dollars. I hope that's not the case. I hope this becomes a permanent process for diversion of those people that are on the verge of homelessness. So in summary, I would prefer that we keep this trust fund specific for this use, and then we can easily create another trust fund for other homeless type initiatives that we want to initiate through this process.
We typically get the chronic homeless type of piece.
What I consider the chronic homeless, and keeping in mind, in that $25 million that is allocated to the mayor's office presently, coming back to us for approval, there are several million dollars in there that the mayor has allocated towards homelessness. And I know Joe Enderhees is back there, and I know Joe will be meeting with us to determine what are the best ways to use those dollars. I think she has some ideas. I think her staff has some ideas, but I know they're open to ideas that we have to allocate those dollars. And I'll stop right there.
Okay, no, and I appreciate that kind of explanation and understanding that further, because that'll help this discussion, I think. And Councilmember Peluso, did you have something you wanted to ask?
Through the chair, I just want to ask, Mr. President, so there's still the $750,000 that is kind of, that's just going to be sitting in your, I'm not going to call it your fund, but you said there's $500K that...
There's the president's contingency, mm-hmm. which I hate to mention, mm-hmm. was initially allocated as $3 million. Yeah. Okay, yes. I have allocated 500 of it towards this. I've also allocated, there's a bill coming through that for the Women's Center that is having some financial difficulties, and I'm putting $140,000 towards that. The mayor again said, I'll meet you halfway. Mm-hmm. I'm putting $70,000 through this, and she's putting $70,000.
Got it.
So I'm trying to maximize these dollars, and thus far, whenever I've gone to Mayor Deegan, she has been very supportive of matching us.
So there's 500 from the president's contingency, 500 from the mayor's side, so that's $1 million.
Right.
But then 150, we already expect to go to these payments for first-time homeless.
Yearly. We're going to take 150 out of that $1 million each year.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if we did that, that fund would last 6 years at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But we can increase that 150. We can, the interest off that money will also go towards it each year. And again, that bill will be coming to committees very soon. So I welcome input from the council on how we might modify that, change that.
Okay. But I just want to make sure, so there's 750 that we still don't know, that you don't have a plan for yet. So
when you said, I'm not sure where you're getting the 750 from.
So 1 million minus 150,000.
That's 850.
850, my mistake.
Ah, there we go.
And Woo. With that, Jimmy will not be on finance.
Oh, my God. I'm still on London time.
Now,
thank you very much.
Jimmy, but that money is set aside for each year. We will take 150. So we know where it's going, as long as the council doesn't change that. I'm going to set it up where it's 150 a year for the next 6 years, and hopefully we add to it, and we can always increase that 150 to 200 or 250.
Excellent. That makes
Anything
sense.
Else?
Through the chair, you also said that fund is earning 3% approximately.
That's correct.
Which goes back into the fund.
That is correct.
So
and allocated.
The reality is that in 12 months, it may not be 850, it might be 900.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Or Phil, did you have a comment on it? No? Okay. Councilmember Ayres, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. So one thing I did just, if everyone is spoke, I'm not really in favor of creating an additional homeless trust fund. I'd rather just have one homeless trust fund that can do what you're already doing, but then broaden the scope of it or whatever. And really, it's a conversation for today is what do we envision the homeless trust fund supporting? What is the goal of this homeless trust fund supposed to be? Is it emergency services only, or is it any type of wraparound service that, you know, a lot of these organizations here today are going to be doing? And I'd love to hear their thoughts on it, and if we have any thoughts up here, Councilmember Boylan.
I'd appreciate if Ms. Gilman could come up and talk a little bit about her thoughts in this project, and some of the, come on up to the podium, please. You hear what's being talked about. It's a little different than what we addressed in the CQLI, which is not a bad thing. But let's talk about if we encompassed all of it into a single trust fund, based upon your understanding and the work you've done thus far. We talked about long-term with wraparound services. We're talking about transitional support here to keep families in their homes. Mm-hmm. As two different and distinct services as a result of this?
Yes. So if we are focused on people who are literally homeless and this trust fund is specifically for them, there are several specific components of any system of care in any community across the country. So we have outreach, we have emergency or bridge housing, we have transitional housing, rapid rehousing, permanent supportive housing, and then we have a database that organizes all of those together. So there's six categories that things tend to fall in. That is how our system is currently designed. when you talk about creating a homeless trust fund, I think the first question is, what is the main purpose of this trust? Is this trust to end the homelessness of people who currently do not have a home? That means that's everybody who has already lost their home, people that we notice on the streets, people that we do not, but they're people who meet a definition of being homeless. If you're talking about preventing homelessness, that is a much bigger pool of people, and has a lot more nuances on what people may need to prevent their homelessness. And we saw a lot of this with the COVID funding that flowed through the city. There is a lot of demand for eviction prevention that continues through our community. I am not sure that is the route that you are intending for this. I just want to put that distinction out there, that there is a spectrum.
Yeah, I would say, just for the sake of your neck, that's not my vision for
it.
I think there's other mechanisms that can be in place.
So when we look, there are certain funding streams that are already coming in to agencies that are working within that system of care. So one of the things that I have talked in CQLI and with Michael after that is, it would benefit us as a community to look at what the current unmet needs of our system are, and what are our most what do we think, again, as a community, is the most important thing to address first. That could look something like, we know there are 200 chronically homeless persons, 55 and up, on our streets. We feel that is our most critical need. We put a plan together that would identify and house them permanently with wraparound services. That's a certain dollar amount. For about 200 people, that is between $5 and $6 million a year. So if you want to do that, that one project is a reoccurring project for that amount going forward. Mm-hmm. It could be to Council President Salem, we are most interested in families experiencing homelessness. That is a different group of people. They are usually not chronically homeless. They have had less time homeless. They have other issues or other needs to end their homelessness and get them stably housed. That could be a different sort of project. One example of a countywide plan that is enacted is, and we brought up Miami-Dade for the Miami-Dade Homeless Trust. They have a specific plan, right, with their priorities. The funding that comes in, you can only spend it on what's in that plan and under those priorities. That's looked at, I believe they either look at it annually or every other year to reassess, is this where we are?
And who oversees that group, or what you said the plan, like, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. In Miami-Dade, it is county money. So those are county employees, right? They are county employees under the Miami-Dade Homeless Trust, which is part of the county. It is a homeless trust, like you're talking about a homeless trust, just a different funding mechanism for it.
Okay.
So, as part of the planning process, they go out into the community to different stakeholders, and the final approval for that, because they're not consolidated, would be with the County Board of Commissioners. So they are approving the budget spending down of that plan. Mm-hmm. They know how much money they have. They know what the priorities have already been established. They put forward the budget to the County Commissioners.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Do you have a question?
So kind of similar to like a CRA, I would say, right?
Right.
Where you kind of have a CRA plan, and all the monies must go to the plan itself.
Yeah.
So one of my questions, or one of my, are there other homeless trusts within the state of Florida, not just Miami-Dade?
I believe so. That's the one that's the longest that I'm the most familiar with. So I just put that out. I believe there are, and I can do some research for you on what they are, and they could be countywide. Again, it could be a municipality that has decided to do it. Other cities and states do have different ways that they are able to do this.
As we talk about the $100,000 that's been appropriated in this year's budget for kind of it's the monies that you put in from the CQLI report, right, Michael?
Yes.
Or Mr. Councilman Boylan? So with those monies, we could basically establish we can get a consultant or somebody else kind of go through the different methods what other counties have done, what other cities have done, and kind of mold our own however we see fit. Is that kind of your intent and your intent, Mr. Carlucci?
Well, and I know we've got someone in the queue, but I think we have a good research division here that could start it, and then the dollars that we can spend can be further it if we need to. But yeah, I mean, that's the intent, is to you know, get the details of it and go ahead, Council President.
Yeah, I would be, Don, you mentioned six different categories.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have numbers and dollar amounts on a yearly basis that would be needed to move those people into some type of permanent situation? Or is it?
Not off the top of my head, but yeah, I can put those together based on the data that we have.
Okay.
What would it, and I should, I'm just gonna do one caveat with it, right? We have, and we have seen this, especially in our veteran population that is pretty close to being fully funded. As you get those resources, you have a backlog of people. We have talked about individuals who are experiencing chronic homelessness. That means they have been literally homeless for over a year. As you house those people, the numbers start to shift. And I think that was one of the things I have not done a good job in explaining to City Council. When we are looking at this homeless system and the number of people who are homeless, when we're trying to reach something we call functional or effective zero, we're looking at how many people flow in and how many people flow out. So that number on our, we call it our by name list, the people that we know in Duval County that are currently experiencing homelessness, looking for housing, that changes every Tuesday, right? Because people can come on or off that list depending on what their housing situation is.
Yep, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, for example, if you take that 700 that I mentioned a few minutes ago, what I have read, the typical person, the average is about $1,000 per person or family in order to take them, to prevent them from becoming homeless. That's $700,000,
mm-hmm.
quote, I don't know if that's a year. Hopefully that would decrease over a period of time. We're allocating through this bill $150,000 or so. So it won't necessarily solve that, but I think it will go a great way in us getting a better understanding of the impact we're having. And I also hope that we can go to the private sector and say, this is our initiative. Will you get involved? Will you help us? We had the restaurant people in here when we were talking about the J-Bill, and they were jumping on us about, we want to help, we want to help. Okay, here you go. Hey, we have a trust fund. You can contribute to it and definitely help. So those and others, I'm not picking on the restaurant group, my good friend, but so right. I hope we can not just, I don't view this as just a government process. I view this as a community problem. And we need to get the community engaged by contributing to this fund. Thank you.
Councilman Berries.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I just have a few questions regarding the trust fund and more of a statement on my end. So to Council President Salem, I have already reached out to that group of restaurant owners and hotel owners. We are actually going to convene at some point next week to talk about the next steps moving forward after we wrap up all our meetings. So that's already in the pipeline, and they are definitely committed to partnering up, at least in the private sector. When it comes to the trust fund, a couple questions would be, who will be in it, how many people will be managing it, and who will appoint these individuals? Is this a mayor-council kind of a split, or all mayor? I'm just curious on that part. And
so yeah, let's pause right
and
there.
And let me talk. Ask my, okay. And my last statement before I give it to you guys.
Your statement? Okay.
Ms. Gilman, so one of my issues with your report a couple months ago or a month ago when we were speaking about this was that you were including Clay County and Nassau County, correct?
So the year that you picked, I don't think there were any, in the unsheltered part that you were quoting, I don't think there were any individuals identified in Clay or Nassau County.
I was going off a report and it said Clay and Nassau County on the entire packet that he has right now in his hands.
I think what he means is the continuum of care.
So the continuum of care, when we do a point in time count, we're responsible for Duval, Clay, and Nassau counties. We
Thank
then
you.
Break out the number of people in each one of those counties that we count that's experiencing homelessness.
Thank you. So to my point is this, If we're using Duval dollars, I want this to stay here in Duval, not Clayton and South.
And that's,
can we make that happen?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There are, we have, we currently get city funding for different things. If it's city funding, it's Duval County money that goes to residents who are in Duval County. Same sort of thing if we were to get funding from Clay or Nassau or one of the municipalities within those counties, they usually stipulate the coverage area or who we're able to assist with that.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay.
I do have a quick question for Dawn. Can I?
No.
Let's finish my questions first and then
you
could.
Councilmember Salem wanted to address something that Raul had a question about who appoints, who manages this. So is this to Ms. Gilman, Mr. Salem?
Great question. It was in this bill. What this bill does is it's written today is hands that money over to Changing Homelessness, okay? And they are responsible for using those dollars. They're responsible for giving us a report, and we can make that quarterly, every 6 months, annually, whatever we want to do, where she shows us that here are 100, 150, 200 families or whatever that we help. This is how much we gave them. This is what it did, et cetera, et cetera. As some of you know, I gave her $14,000 left over from my installation fund that she's doing the same thing for. So government is not managing these dollars. Changing Homelessness is.
Right.
To be clear, it's the $150,000. We're not the whole trust fund. It is, and that can be changed on an annual basis.
That is correct.
So that's regarding the $150,000. Now, if we were to create a trust fund, my question is, how do we appoint the individuals to managing that?
The trust fund would be set up by the council.
Okay, so not the mayor?
No.
Okay.
The trust fund is set up by us, and in the ordinance setting up the trust fund, and it's a great question, we design the specifics of how we want those dollars to be used.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see this one as it comes through. It's very specific on how much is going to Changing Homelessness each year, the criteria that she needs to use in using these dollars. Because it's very, from my standpoint, I want it to be used for first-time homeless people. Very specifically.
And I get that. So my last question regarding this. So I know that we have Changing Homelessness managing the dollars, right? But my vision of a trust fund would be individuals that we appoint, and then they decide who they give the money to, because if we give the money to just one organization, then who's overseeing that organization? I would like to have a board, at least of 3 or 5 individuals that we appoint, and then they decide who they give the dollars to. Is that something that could be doable?
It sounds like almost a public service grant process that you're describing. I assume let's let the...
uh-oh, we're all in trouble.
Your attorneys are coming
trouble.
Yeah.
So thank you through Mr. Carlucci, who's the chair today. Mary Stephopoulos with the Office of General Counsel. So the way the Homelessness Trust Fund is currently written, and obviously as President Salem has indicated, it might be massaged along the way, is that the Social Services Division of the Parks, Recreation, and Community Services Department oversees the administration of the trust fund. The reason they were selected initially was because that they offer a variety of services relative to homelessness through their general course of business on a day-to-day basis. There would be an additional appropriation to Changing Homelessness to utilize the funds, as the president has indicated, and that criteria on how those funds can be used and how it would be administered are all outlined in that bill for the trust fund. And that's the typical way we handle special revenue funds such as this one. We outline the criteria. In most cases, we're identifying a city department or division that would oversee the administration of that fund. And then, of course, as changes are made to that fund, that would come through city council through legislation.
So can we change that and make it where we create a board of people we appoint? The reason why I ask is because if we're going to ask the private sector to donate, contribute dollars, they want to make sure that the dollars are being used the way that they would like for them to be used and not the way that one organization would like for them to be used. So by identifying key people from the community to oversee those dollars would make my group and other groups feel more comfortable about where the dollars are being spent. It's just, to me, it's just more of a business practicality than anything else. And that's really where I stand with that.
Mr. Carlucci, my comment.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And I just want to respond. You know, we're not talking, I think to your point, we're not talking about a study per se. We're talking about a committee that's going to take a look at how do we want to structure this. What is the goal? What are our priorities as to the homeless issue? Is it chronic homelessness? Is it others? Continuum of care? Whatever it is, make a determination as a special committee, make a recommendation to all of us, set a goal of the dollars raised, and make a determination of what we as a council are willing to contribute to it, and then put it in the hands of the private sector, okay, match this. We need X number of dollars. She said $5 or $6 million to take care of 200 people on a continuing basis and long, you know, make a decision that's where we want to go. Mm-hmm. If that's what we want to do, fine. Get the committee together. Let's get the plan built out. Who's going to administer it? How are we going to evaluate it? Mm-hmm. All those kind of questions being answered in the process. I don't mm-hmm. think we have to study it. I just think we need a committee to focus some time on it mm-hmm. and take advantage of the folks out there in the community who can help us craft that, including those who want to be partners in the process of funding it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Don, sorry if you can come back up here. I just want to make sure. So, because I think people are confusing maybe the continuum of care, what their operations are, and like for instance, how many continuum of cares are there in the state of Florida?
27.
Okay. So the continuum of care is a federally recognized entity that receives federal dollars, does it not?
Yes. So we're FL-510, right, in that vernacular. Everyone has like a designation, and it's a geographic area that they can receive federal funding for, or they are required to report back to the VA or HUD for those different territories.
And our continuum of care has Clay and Nassau. That's why they're like in all the reports that we see. But to that point, the Miami-Dade Homeless Trust is not the designated continuum of care down in Miami-Dade, is it?
They are.
Oh, they are. Okay.
There are some continuums of care that are one county. There are some that are even more counties than ours, but they happen to be a one county continuum of care.
Just because it is that one county, so it kind of made sense for them to do both. Okay.
Yep.
I know that it's not my intent for and hope that when we do create this homeless trust, it will not be managed by just, you know, it won't be managed by changing homelessness. It will have a board.
Yes.
That will manage the dollars.
That's,
All that to say, I mean, just like every other board that we have, the mayor usually appoints and then we confirm. That was kind of, I think we have a few where the president has a few appointees.
Some are mixed.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely something that we want to talk about.
Okay.
But
I like it.
Can I?
Anything over here? Sorry.
No, sure. Over here? Absolutely.
I don't know. Every argument. Once the focus is very defined, then you start establishing how much we need per year to create a trust fund. And I don't know if we need a study. We've got the experts. We just need a conversation and you know, pick a horse and run with it.
Yeah. No, and I think that's it. I think you hit the nail on the head, and that's part of what we're doing here, because it is that there's a lot of different facets in homelessness, and my preference is to focus on the ongoing care, not the maybe preventing aspect. I don't know. We need to learn more about exactly what each one of those are, and we can't do it in an hour. It's hard to do it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about, I guess it was yesterday when we met, was setting up a special committee. Mm-hmm. I have found in my time on the council, it's hard to get this many people out consistently on a particular issue. There are always people that are very passionate about an issue, and it's been my experience to get them on a special committee and let them work on this issue, let them study it, determine it, and bring some recommendations back to the full council. So what I'm going to do this afternoon at the council meeting is announced that I'm going to be setting up a special committee on, I'll say, on homelessness. And if you're interested in serving in that, send Nikki a message. And I know there's at least three of you here that are very passionate, and four of us. I know Michael and I are very interested, but I think we've got a lot going on. The special committee works for the jail, for example, and it's worked in the past for other things. So I think that's the approach we probably should take. However, let me say this. I feel passionate about the diversion part of this. And I intend to continue to move forward that bill because I've made a commitment to the mayor that this is something that I think we should do, and we can gain experience with that. Yep. And it may be something that we want to expand or change. Again, it's not, trust funds are not permanent. We can always change them, but I'd like to see us begin to address that issue of over 50% of the homeless that are out there that hopefully we can prevent from becoming homeless. So I'll announce that this afternoon. We'll develop a charge, and we'll get that process started.
Thank you. Councilmember Arias, one thing. Yeah. Oh, you got to run? Okay, see you later. No. All right, head on out if you need to head out. I did want to hear from one more person in the audience, Councilmember Arias. Go ahead.
So, through the chair, yes, so one more thing. I want to make clear that, because we've had a conversation on homelessness and also affordable housing.
Right.
And when we talked about building this trust, my idea was to include affordable housing in that mix too, which is why I'm adamant about creating a board of individuals to decide how much of a percentage goes towards homelessness, how much goes towards affordable housing, because
right.
affordable housing and housing people is part of the solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there needs to be a split on this, which is why that's a conversation for another day, but something to keep in mind as well.
Right. And one thing I just wanted to add that I do want to state as a goal for this is to have this to be some kind of autopilot, because we don't want to we want to get it right, and then it's seemingly on autopilot, sort of like the J1 bill in a sense, where it was okay, it would be enacted and then it would flow through and it would go to the homeless trust fund or whatever, and then it would just continue on. So like, I do want to make that a statement and as a goal for at least my preference. And Ms. Funkhauser, I did want to get your statements on this and your thoughts on this as well. And I appreciate you joining us, because you obviously bring in a different another vantage point. So welcome to the podium.
Good afternoon. First of all, I just want to say I completely agree with Councilmember Arias, sitting there thinking it myself. The driver and the solution to homelessness, both are affordable housing. We can't solve it without affordable housing, and that is what's causing and driving homelessness. So, you know, we were all on the CQLI, we were on the Mayor's Transition Task Force, and in both cases, affordable housing and homelessness were two separate committees. They can't be separate. They cannot be separate. You can't address one without the other. So I do encourage Councilmember Arias that when you do form this committee, affordable housing is a big piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that. You know, when Dawn is talking about our homeless management information system, which is where all the people that we know of currently that are homeless, they are in that system. They're active and they are homeless. That number is at 4,300 right now. It was at 3,400 when we were doing CQLI. It is now at 4,300. Do the math. That's almost a 25% increase. Hasn't even been a year. So, you know, I know we pick and choose all these numbers out of old reports. That's the actual number as of this day. So, you know, we are seeing more and more families becoming homeless. And I wanted to say one thing to Council Member Salem. What he's looking at, diversion, is different than prevention. Prevention is Catholic Charities. Prevention is Jewish Family. I used to run a prevention agency, BEAM. When people are 1 month late on their electric or rent, they can come there and get that money. We're not talking about that, right? I just want to make sure everybody understands. Diversion is people that are on my front door of my shelter or the village. They are going to be there this month or this week if we do not intervene. So that's not just somebody that needs their electric bill paid. And we do not and have not had a true diversion project here in Jacksonville. Dawn's been trying to get the money. I think maybe we had a little small one. But that is really important. It's really important. But there are so many different segments of the homeless population. And I hear Dawn and the 55 plus, the silver tsunami, it's horrible. And we're all seeing more and more elderly homeless people on the street, and that's heartbreaking. So that's an important population. But how you choose the population, the devil is always in the detail. Homeless families, that's also heartbreaking. Homeless veterans, that's also heartbreaking, although we have the funding for that. Everybody that's homeless, it's heartbreaking. But, when people are looking at downtown homelessness, for example, they are looking at the chronically homeless and also the newly homeless. So as we know, and if any of you have seen that 10-year report that DuPont did, we did great from 2009 to 2019 in our city. We overachieved the national average on every single metric, veterans, family, chronic, every metric except for the one called unsheltered. And we were 27% higher than the national average. 27%. That means newly homeless, people coming into the system, as Dawn was saying, the inflow. That's what we have to figure out. And it's not that hard. Again, it's the lack of affordable housing. And we see that now after the pandemic and with what's happening right now with the real estate market. Did you all see that Florida is number two? We overtook New York, was in the paper today. We are the number two real estate market, Florida, after California, in the entire country. So we do have investors coming in. We have lots of people snapping up what used to be affordable housing, recreating it into market rate. So, I just want to say we are seeing increases. We need to look at the real number, which is the number in the system. And we need to figure out the best use when you develop this task force or committee or whatever we're calling it. That's going to be the hard part. We don't need a lot more studies. We're about studied out, and we have lots of data. We need to take that data and figure out how to utilize it and leverage it in the way that gives you the biggest bang for the buck, the most people housed. So that's all that I wanted to say.
Okay. No, and I appreciate that. And did you have something?
I know we've got time running. I just had a quick question. So for those individuals that are staying in your, was it Sulzbacher Village, mm-hmm. are those now considered people that have a home, or are they still listed in the count as being
okay.
homeless?
Okay, so at the Sulzbacher Village, we have 70 apartments, permanent mm-hmm. apartments, and we have 56 transitional or short-term emergency units. Mm-hmm. So most of the people living there are now actually permanently housed, and that's our goal moving forward, is to continue to build affordable housing and give people actual homes.
But they're removed from the list. Those that
yes,
are
they excellent. Are removed from the list.
And my last question is actually one from Mary Estefopoulos. It's just very briefly, have we created any, are we allowed to create a 501c3 or some sort of, could a potential fund be the 501c3 so that it's a, if there are private sector dollars that go to it, they can use it as a write-off, things like that?
So, good question, and I would have to look into it more deeply, so I don't want to give you any off-the-cuff response that could be wrong later, but there are 501c3s that exist that do a lot of work on behalf of government and in coordination with government. I think the one thing that you have to be mindful of when you do that is if there's a significant amount or even a certain amount of oversight from the government of that 501c3, they're still subject to Sunshine Law. There's still all those aspects of government that would be applicable to that 501c3. So generally speaking, that tends not to be a mechanism that governments use, because if you're going to have all that oversight and all those obligations that the government would have, the government just ends up doing it itself. Basically.
But if we are looking to leverage private dollars, right, it's always better to get a, name a large company, the Jaguars. If the Jaguars wanted to donate They could at least write it off on their bottom line if they give to a 501c3 rather than that of a trust fund that's run by the government.
I'd have to look at whether or not you can write off donations to government entities under certain circumstances.
Yeah.
That's a tax lawyer, which I am not, but that's something we could definitely look into to see if that's even something that's an option so that you don't have to look necessarily at the 501c3 aspect of it.
So the question would be, if they gave to this trust fund, would that be a tax
write-off?
Right,
and that would be the what I would look
into. I would ask you to do
sure.
that.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, well, this has been, I think this has kind of helped help narrow down the scope a little bit. And again, I just wanted to recap two things because I know, Ms. Funkhauser, I know you don't like breaking it up into affordable housing and homelessness, but at least in my mind, I view them differently, and I view them as doing separate things. And I like the, when I think of homelessness, I think of more so the diversion piece. And it sounds like that's not funded a lot. You're shaking your heads no, like that's not what it is. But y'all have talked about diversion of being, there's no funding for it. You just said that. So is that the case? But you don't, but the funding for that would be less dollars than affordable housing. So the plan was, when we had our affordable housing meeting, the component was, we want to take $5 million and give it to JHFA and let them do what all these other studies have said, which is, how, you know, gap financing. So I don't want anyone to think the homeless trust fund is only a, you know, we're missing affordable housing. We're not. We're also walking and chewing gum at the same time, and that is, we want to have a revolving $5 million, and I'm working on finding that money, and there's places that we can get it from, and there's two meetings today that are going to help me. But we're going to have that, go into the JHFA, do it on a loan basis. The three, you know, the interest from the loan will go into the homeless trust fund, which does diversion or whatever other categories we come up with. And then there's other funding mechanisms that can also flow into the homeless trust fund that is perhaps overseen by a board appointed by the city council. So that's the full structure that I'm seeing. I'm not just seeing a homeless trust fund, and then we pour all of our money in there, and it also sends out money for affordable housing. That's not my vision for it. If that's other people's vision for it, then they're very happy to share that, and we can talk through it. But I just don't see that as working as the way I have it set up. The way I have it set up is the big dollars go here for affordable housing. The you know, interest dollars, the rev grant dollars perhaps flow into the homeless trust fund, and that gets dispersed accordingly. And that's how I'm viewing it right now. So if there's any opposition to that mechanism or structure, then I'd love to talk about it.
I don't think this is the place to get into all that. I think a special committee, because I'm sure there's some disagreement between
sure.
people that need to be discussed in a more controlled environment.
Okay.
That would be my thought.
And Mr. President, as you create this special committee, will it be open to have not just council members on it, but because I know the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund just announced today they want to do something in the affordable housing space. I want to make sure we're not duplicating efforts and or perhaps can work together on stuff. Do we get someone from Jesse? Do we get, you know, Cindy and Don and whomever else to be able to sit on this committee as well? Or do you have an idea yet?
Well, I would usually say it's a special committee of the council, but you can always bring people into the process to provide testimony and that kind of thing. I think it's better when the council controls it.
Understood. Thanks, sir.
Awesome. Anything? What? Working over there.
Nothing.
Councilmember Arias, go ahead.
So I know that I think Mr. Herzberg is setting up a follow-up meeting for next week to wrap up our conversation. So the goal was to have four conversations, three which we already had. The fourth will be the wrap-up. I wanted to have it on Monday, but I forgot that Monday's my birthday. So I'm not going to be here Monday. So maybe we could do it like Wednesday or Thursday. So we're going to look at your schedules to see which one aligns best for everybody.
Okay.
And that will be the wrap-up session for these conversations. And then from there, we'll have a council president's special committee as well, hopefully enacted by then, and then we can start moving forward in that direction. So just wanted to let the audience know what the next step was towards this.
Okay.
So we'll let you know, hopefully by the end of the day today, what day next week we'll be meeting for the last meeting.
Who?
Chris.
Oh, we heard from Chris yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Sorry, Chris. You were coming back from London.
Correct.
Yeah, you were snoozing on the plane.
For the record, for 2 weeks in London, right? Just make sure of that, right?
Okay. I was doing a fact-finding mission for the city of Jacksonville in London, yes. Doing great work for the people of District 7.
And Germany as well, is that right?
And France.
Okay. Jags. Thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it. And we are adjourned, and I just want to make it clear, we are going to have action taken on this as swiftly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you.